نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. صدق الله العظيم. Continuing with our subject of last week, a quick recap. Last week we discussed that if we want to develop the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our spiritual path, there are stages to go through. The very first stage was to ask for tawbah. We already spoke about tawbah. Then we say we got to make tasheeh of our niyat, make a firm intention that we want to reform ourselves. And then the next stage is we must try to develop, inculcate the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. Because if we don't do that, then there will not be ruh in our ibadat. But then we say that even loving of Allah, there are stages on that. One is the stage of shawq, longing for Allah, and one is the stage of ishq, which is permanent, which is like a flame in our heart. And this brings more ruh, more dynamism in our spiritual life. But however, to develop this love, we say that there is something very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid upon us, is the concept of mujahada. Mujahada means to struggle, to strive against our nafs so that we can abstain from permissible or even impermissible things for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens when we do mujahada is very, very important to understand what is happening in our heart, to appreciate the importance of mujahada, this struggling, this fighting in our nafs within ourselves to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say that this fighting is a fighting between our desires and our reason. Our desires wants to eat a lot of food. Our desires is to look at a woman. Our desires is to make ghibat. Our desires is to do many other things. But reason, our reason comes in. And when our reason comes in, there is a fight between our intellect and our desires, our nafs. And this hesitation that cross in us, this is what is important to understand where mujahada comes in. We want to wake up for Fajr Salah. It's very, very cold. The azan is going. Do we get off our bed or we do not get off our bed? Our desire says the sun will rise at 7 o'clock. But our desires are telling us, take 5 more sleep. But our aqal tells us, if you're going to do that, you're going to miss your 27 more sawab in Jamaat. So this hesitation that comes in our heart, this what creates the mujahada, the spirit of mujahada in a person. Without mujahada, it's going to be very, very, very difficult to tread the path of tasawwuf. For this reason, mujahada is very, very important. To that extent that Allama Qushayri rahmatullah alayhi mentions, very, very important, Allama Qushayri rahmatullah alayhi, great wali of Allah, great muhaddith, a great faqih. In his book, I told you the other day, The Principles of Tasawwuf, he says in that book, in fact in Syria, in the Arab world, they use this book for Tasawwuf. It's considered like the Sahih Muslim of Tasawwuf. He says that for me to withhold my hands from the next morsel of food is more valuable than to spend the entire night in Ibadat. This control, this hesitation at the time of eating, to control myself, I want to eat, the food is sumptuous, the food is delicious, it's tantalizing, I want to eat it, but to control my hands on that is more important, it's more valuable for me when this hesitation starts coming in my heart than spending the entire night in Ibadat. This is how important it is to control this hesitation. Because when a person starts controlling this hesitation, he overpowers this hesitation, he brings it under his control, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlightens the internal faculties in him. What we explained last week, those internal faculties are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put three things in man. If man managed to control that, he becomes a perfect human being. Those three things, just a quick recap, was quwwati shahwiya, the desire for lust. We have lust in us, but if we control it, we have developed chastity. And the second one is quwwati aqliya, the intellectual capacity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. If we control our intellect, then we develop wisdom, we have a balance in it. We know where to use our intellect and where not to use it in front of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, we must not make ourselves stupid. If a person develops this, he will develop the quality of hikmah in him, the quality of wisdom. The third one is quwwati shahwiya, quwwati aqliya, and quwwati ghazabiya, our anger. Anger is very, very important to make jihad. At the same time, anger must be controlled so that there is no zulam. When a person brings a balance, this hesitation, when to be angry, not when to get angry, then he develops bravery in him. These three qualities, these three balances that we have in a person, if he manages to bring it on the lehja of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he becomes a perfect human being. This is what the tasawwuf is all about. Then only we can claim we have become a human being. If not, it's very, very difficult to become a human being. So the three qualities that we said were the quality of wisdom, the quality of chastity, and the quality of bravery. These are three qualities that we must try to develop in us. So when a person controls the things, her mujahada, he reached that level. And we said that mujahada, there are two types of mujahada. Ulama explained, if a person must strive, there are two types of strive you got to do. One is mujahada if jismani. That is the physical mujahada that we have to do with our body. And this comprises of four things. We sleep less, we eat less, we talk less, and we associate ourselves less with people. We got to control that. And then the second type of mujahada is what we call mujahada in nafsi. And this is what the most important part is. That is our internal struggle that we do within our heart. That is to try to get the good qualities in us, qualities like patience, qualities like gratefulness, the quality of love, and remove the bad quality from our heart, what you call the akhlaqi razila, the quality of anger, the quality of envy, the quality of jealousy, and all those bad qualities must come out of our heart. This is the most important part, and all those qualities in the light of the Quran and Sunnah are first. The akhlaqi hamida, inshallah, when we're going to unfold the discussion later on, you will see a proof from the Quran that all those qualities, akhlaqi hamida, it is just like reading namaz is fard. It is an order in the Quran also to get those qualities. Just like to abstain from pork is haram. To remove the akhlaqi razira also is haram. It's mentioned in the Quran. So it's not something far-fetched that we are discussing. We are not talking of things like flying in the sky here. These are the ayat of Quran that we have to deal later on, inshallah al-Aziz. So this is the beauty of mujahada. For today, I want to talk, because time is very limited, on the mujahada of eating. The very, very first thing is a mujahada of eating. This is very, very important. In the last of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayat that I've quoted to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you Bani Adam, O you Bani Adam, O you the son of Adam, whenever you come to the mosque, whenever you come to the mosque, adorn yourself with a beautiful clothes and eat, drink, but don't exceed the limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us there that when we eat and drink and we're coming to the mosque, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made a direct link. Going to the mosque, reading salah is directly linked to the food we eat. The quality of food we eat and the quantity of food we eat. The two concepts in eating. One is the level of consumption. Up to what extent are we allowed to eat in Sharia? And number two, what are we supposed to eat in Sharia? This also is proven from the Quran. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned another ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you believers, eat from the tayyibat. Tayyibat means wholesome food, not any type of food, wholesome food. The two concepts in food, one is halal and one is wholesome. Two qualities are mentioned in the Quran. We can go eat chips, we can eat crisp, but there is aspartame in those crisps. Is it wholesome to eat that? We can have Coke, but there is aspartame in Coke. Are we allowed to drink that? What are the scientific research about it? So we can eat. It can be halal to eat, but is it wholesome? Is it good for our health? There are two hukam in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. So for this reason, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, whatever we eat has a direct link in our ibadat. Whatever we eat has a direct link. For this reason, today's time, we reading namaz, nobody, very, 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 very few people, believe me, very, very few people can concentrate for 5 minutes in salah. Our mind starts flying in salah. Our mind starts flying in salah. We can count our fingers, how many people sitting here? We are not going to carry a survey here. Each one has their own heart. How many minutes can you concentrate in salah? If you concentrate 5 minutes, it's too much. It's too much. The moment you make Allahu Akbar, the Subhanaka Allahumma, finish, you go and you ask Zakat, I ask you, what surah you read in your namaz? You don't even know what surah you read. How many times we ask ourselves, what surah the Imam read the first Zakat? We don't even remember. This is the quality of the salah we're eating, because the food that we are eating has a direct impact on our heart. And when our heart is not pure, this is the result. We come and read namaz, we don't know what namaz we're reading. We don't know what namaz we're reading. Just like a namaz, it affects other ibadat as well. For this reason, this food issue is very, very important in Sharia. Allama Qurtubi says it has a direct link. What we're eating. For this reason, qillat it'am, to eat less. It is not, I can prove it from hadith. For example, in the Battle of Khandaq, reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Sahaba ikram were working very, very hard. A Sahabi came to Rasulullah Sallam. They were busy digging the trench, the Battle of Trench in Medina Munawwara. Those who went to Hajj Umar have seen it. They were under very, very stressful conditions physically, because they couldn't eat. One Sahabi came to Rasulullah Sallam. He lit his jubba and saw Rasulullah Sallam. I got a rock. I had to put a rock to hold myself. There's no food. Rasulullah Sallam lit his clothes and said, there were two rocks. This is how, this is the time we are talking here. When this time came, a Sahabi, very secretly, he cut his lamb and he invited Rasulullah Sallam. Rasulullah Sallam gave Aam Dawat. He invited few. Rasulullah Sallam brought everybody. Sahaba Kiram came, Sahih al-Bukhari. They ate to their full. But these are exceptional cases. These are exceptional cases. To eat to your full, we got to understand the context the Sahaba Kiram have said it. So it's not haram to eat. But the point is, the controlling of the food, what is the hikmat of controlling the food, is not to produce a group of ascetics that will just not eat and become feeble. That's not the objective of Sharia. The objective of qillat ta'am is for self-discipline. The objective of eating less is for self-discipline. This is what is important, that Mawlana Shafi'i Thawi rahmatullah alayhi says that there are three things when we're going to qillat ta'am. There are three things associated with that. The first one is, make sure that your food is halal. For this reason, it's very, very important as fathers of home to ensure what type of food we're giving our children, what education we give our children when they get to go to buy their sweets or buying their fries, and like Saturday night they will go and eat their whatever takeaway they want. It's our duty to educate our children. Number two, very, very important, abstain from sumptuous food, delicious food. Abstain from that. Mawlana Shafi'i Thawi rahmatullah alayhi saying, it's not haram, but if you want to correct ourselves spiritually, these are the remedies given by the ulama. The third one, ensure that at the time of eating, we control, we leave some morsel of food, even though there is place in our tummy, but we control ourselves. That's very, very important. This is the most difficult part. We can tell our wife, today for 1 week we are not going to eat meat, no problem. We can tell our, but then how long? The whole day we have been working very hard. We're coming home, we are hungry. Now to control this hunger is very, very difficult. This is what the ulama is saying. Control this this hunger, because you're going to bring self-discipline in a person. This is what the ulama is saying. Qillat ta'am, this mujahada, this hesitation, what time am I supposed to stop eating? This is a training that we need. Mawlana Abdul Hay Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the spiritual mentor of Mufti Taqi Sahab, he says, very, very important, very, very important, how he trained his mind, how he conditioned himself to eat, how he conditioned himself to kiss his grandchild. He says, each time I'm hungry, I want to eat, I just go and eat, then I control myself, I stop eating. He says, no, I am not going to eat. Then the next stage, he says, that how Rasulullah Sallam ate. This conditioning, very important. He enters home, his grandchild is running towards him, he stretches his hands, then he pulls out his hand, says, no, I'm not going to let the love of my grandchild overpower my control over myself. He says, first, how Rasulullah spoiled his grandchild. Rasulullah used to spoil his grandchild to such an extent, it comes in hadith also, once he was giving a minbar, khutbah, Jummah, one of his grandchild was coming, Ghaliban, it was Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, I forgot. He got off the minbar, go and fetch him, because he fell. Masjid al-Nabawi didn't have carpet those days, was sand, and he messed himself a bit. Rasulullah got off, go and catch up his grandchild, come on minbar and finish his khutbah. This is the love Rasulullah had for his grandchild. That's a topic on its own, love for grandchildren. That's a topic on its own, how Rasulullah displayed his love. When his grandchild, Zainab's daughter, child was dying, how Rasulullah controlled himself. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala and his son sent messages, mobile messages. Rasulullah was busy in da'wah, but he refused to go. how he sent the message, how he consoled himself for the love of his grandchild who was passing away. That's a topic on its own. We are not going to deal with that today. Coming back on our topic, Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, these are the three things. This controlling, sending our hands to eat, this is what Allama Qushayri Rahmatullah Alayhi said. Now I hope you understand it. He says, I repeat it, Allama Qushayri was not an ordinary alim, was a great, great alim, high caliber alim. He says that to control my hand, not to eat the few morsels left, is better for me. I value it more than spending the whole night in tahajjud, because the food that we eat has a direct impact on our ibadah. As I quoted you, Allama Qurtubi's tafsir. That's very, very important. Unfortunately, our life has changed completely. We are living in a world of consumerism. Today's time, if you look at the change that has taken place in our eating pattern has changed completely. Research has revealed the most sick nation in the world are the Americans. They're suffering from obesity. The next most sick nation in the world are the British. It's having a direct impact on the budget of the government, because so many diseases are developed with that. For this reason, Ibn Qayyim Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has written a book, Tibbe Nabawi. It has been translated in English, The Prophetic Medicine. You can read it. The very first chapter, Ibn Qayyim Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has dealt with a hadith to this effect that the mother of all the disease is your stomach. He has a whole chapter on that. The mother of all the disease is stomach. Just think about this. The vision of Rasulullah Sallam. Mafhum hadith. I won't get the exact word in my mind. So Ibn Qayyim Jawzi rahmatullah has shown us that if we don't control our food, research has revealed that we have been conditioned to eat 3 meals a day. We have been conditioned to eat 3 meals a day for caloric intake, to have enough energy for nutritional fulfillment. The food that an average American or British eat per day can feed an entire family in West Africa. Research has proved it. We are taking food more than physiologically needed, definitely. But we have been conditioned to eat more than what is recommended. We are forgetting that we are Muslims. Once a person from Yemen came to the Majlis of Rasulullah in Madinatul Munawwara. He came in the Majid. Rasulullah gave him one bowl of milk to drink. He drank one. Offering the second, he drank the second. He drank seven bowls of milk. Seven bowls of milk he drank. Sahaba shook their head, because Sahaba don't drink so much. Then it so happened later on, he embraced Islam. He drank one bowl. You don't understand? They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah says, a kafir has seven intestines. How many? Seven. A Muslim has one. A Muslim has one. And this one is because of the concept of barakah in food. We have to understand that we Muslim, when we eat, the very first thing we do, we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Muqaddama of Volume 1 of Ma'rifat Quran, which has been translated in English as well, because our brothers want to read also, this is why I'm giving reference for them. Go and read the Tafsir of Surah Fatiha, Volume 1 Ma'rifat Quran. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written about 3 pages on the virtue of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There are 3 advantages of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The very first one is Al-Isti'anah. Isti'ana means seeking help. Any work that you take, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when you do this work, you come in hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you accomplish that work. So eating this food, you will finish eating your food and it will have its effect. Isti'ana. The second one is al-barakah, tabarruk. There is barakah in that. We eat little, but full of barakah in there. Our health, our tummy is full, our health, our ibadat. There's so many ripple effect of this food when we say Bismillah. The third one is taqarrub. You come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one grain of food, if a Muslim ponder on that, what changes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made in the climate to produce one grain of food, and we're buying the best rice, which is basmati, maybe it is 2 pounds a kilo. For 2 kilo, what changes has taken in the atmosphere to produce this grain? Ponder upon that. That alone is enough to make you become a wali of Allah when your next meal. If you ponder on that, it's enough to make you a wali of Allah, to think a gandhi of Allah. The rice, to produce rice, you need a lot of water in the fields. The water, how it goes up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates evaporation from the sea and the river. By the evaporation, it gets condensed in the clouds. By the clouds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the winds. From the winds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make another condensation for the rain to form. And then it flows on that specific place, it pours a lot of rain. Then they cut it. Then they will remove it. Then you need a truck to take it to the factory to remove it. Then from a truck, the rice is ready, you put in a ship to send it here. From here, it goes through the customs. Hundreds of people are involved for you to get your 1 kilo of basmati rice, which you eat it deliciously. Look, think how what changes is taking place in the nature. For us to get it, we just go by one shop, we buy 1 kilo of basmati for £2. This bismillah is enough to make us become a wali of Allah. One bismillah. So that's another topic. It is reported when Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was revealed, 250,000 farishta accompanied this ayat. 250,000 farishta accompanied this ayat. This is the value of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is happening when we're eating? We haven't got a clue. We are carried away with the Western way of living. We have disorganized our way of eating. Eating itself is an ibadat. Today's time, if you look at our lifestyle, research has been revealed by sociologists. We having 20 contacts with food per day. Have you ever think about it? 20 contacts with food per day. We wake up in the morning, we get our tea. We come Fajr after Fajr. Then we go to our breakfast. Before going, we take a fruit. Then we go at work. Before we start working, we need to have tea. Then we're going to have our lunch. Fin our lunch, we go to our tiffin. Our tiffin, we're going to go on the road, we're going to buy something to eat. Then what's happening? We're going by our friend. Then after Isha, going outside, we're going to buy something. We keep on eating the whole day and night. If it is not script, it's a biscuit. If it's not biscuit, it's a burger. If it's not burger, it is rice. If it is not rice, eat something. Watching TV with peanuts, popcorn. 20 times a day we have in contact with food. 20 times a day an average Muslim is having with food. If this is not israf in food, what it is? Is it Islamic? How we want to spiritually, how we want to upgrade ourselves spiritually. How do we want to go up spiritually? I'm talking for myself. I'm the very first person to take this criticism. This is why our way of thinking have changed. Consumerism, we have to understand. We have to look the entire food industry, the entire food industry in that perspective. I don't want to go talk about the GM foods. I won't be surprised tomorrow that all of us will say it's haram to consume that. The genetically monitored food. What is happening in the food industry, it makes you go mad. What type of food are we eating today's time? Maybe a time will come, Muslims will have to do their own farming. The harm that is causing on the market by the big, big industrial magnates. And we are eating those food every second hour, we're eating food. No control on what we are consuming. For this reason, coming back to what the Quran says, two types of things to get to get two masala. One is tayyib and one is halal. It's not halal on itself, there's no problem. The Quran is saying tayyib as well. It must be wholesome food. This have a direct impact on our ibadat. This is what the fuqaha are saying, the ulama are saying, the sufi al-kiram are saying in the last of Quran and hadith, that the food, if we want to spiritually want to go up, we must control the food we eat. We must make mujahada what we are eating. The quality we are eating, the extent we are eating. Two things. The quality of eating and the extent of eating. Very, very important. So by keeping our hands against it, as I told you, Mawlana Abdul Hayy Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi said, he conditioned his mind to make those mujahada. It's a process that we must go to control that. Coming back to Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that there are seven advantages if we control our food. By we withholding our hands from those food, there are seven advantages. Beautiful, beautiful. Time is not, does not permit me to go in details. I'm just going to mention it to you. It's very, very interesting, the things that the ulama explained. The very first thing he says, beautiful, it is the heart. If a person doesn't eat too much, the heart remains pure. Because there are less food. Because food, there are two things that food is going to do for you. Either food is going to be a fuel for sin or a fuel for ibadat. What exactly the food does? It gets oxidized in our cell, and then you get energy in our body, and we do our actions. This is what exactly the food is doing in our body. But if we control this amount of food, it has an effect. You ask me, well, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense? I give you one example. Bhai, most of you have children. You have children, and you yourself, you drink milk, right? Do you have wind when you drink milk? You don't have wind. One glass of milk, what wind you're going to have usually? Unless you do excessively. But if your wife has some dal or some beans, then he breastfeed the child, the baby. What happened to the baby? Where is the mother's food? Where is the milk? But the effect is there. Samjiva? The effect of the dal is on the child's tummy. So the same way effects, cause and effect, just as it has a cause and effect in the physical world, the cause and effect with physical and spiritual world also exist. Allama Qasim Nanurvi rahmatullah alayh. One day somebody invites him. He was the founder of Darul Deoband. By sitting in that person's majlis there, eating the first morsel he ate, the first morsel he ate, he spit it out. He says, this is haram. He woke out. And he said, for 40 days I had the urge of doing sin. 40 days I had the urge of doing sin. Allah. One morsel. This is why Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, when it is come to a morsel of food he ate, but the person who gave him the food in the time of Jahiliyyah was doing like mantar type of thing, black magic, this type of thing. When he heard about it, he drank salt water, he put his tongue inside and he vomited everything. Because he understood that this one morsel will affect his heart. To understand that is very simple. It's difficult for people like me, gunahgar like me, to understand it. But ulama explained, you get a white paper and you put a lot of dots in it. A white sheet of paper, you put a lot of dots in it. And then you add another one. What difference it makes? It doesn't make any difference. That's our heart. Full of guna. We eat haram also, we don't know we're eating haram. It's got no effect on us. We don't observe it. We don't feel anything. But if the white sheet, there's no dots at all on it, you put a small spot, black spot on it. It's so visible. It's so clear cut. This is the heart of the Wali of Allah. They have worked so much on their heart, so much of mujahada, they have cleaned their heart, so much of purity in their heart. One morsel of food, they'll pick it up. That is not halal. This is the importance of cleaning this heart so that we can protect ourselves spiritually. So Allah Mashafi Tami Rahmatullah alayhi said, the very first one is the heart remains pure. And when your heart is pure, the next stage is you start recognizing the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you remember 2 weeks ago, I said, if you recognize the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Allah goes up. The love for Allah which we are seeking, the muhabbat, the shauq, the ishq of Allah will go up. This is the first advantage of eating less. The second one he says is the tenderness and softness, those two qualities develop in the heart. And when tenderness and softness develops in the heart, it creates an urge for dua and zikr. When a heart becomes soft, tender, it creates desire to make dua and to make zikr. It's easy to think about it. Try again. Try to make your zikr. Try to make your zikr. See how many times can you sit? How many minutes can you sit for zikr? Try to make dua. We see in the masjid. How many times we can make dua? Some people, they make 2 minutes dua. Some people will make 1 hour duas. I saw Haji Paja Rahmatullah Alayh, the Amir of Tabligh Jamaat of South Africa, not mubalagha, 3 hours dua. 3 hours dua for tahajjud. Ankhon se dekha. Is that hearsay? Another level? If we make 15 minutes, stop training here. Because we don't make enough press-ups. Those Ahlullah, for 3 hours crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what level of concentration they have. Allah jani. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one whole night on one ayat of Quran he had been crying. Read the battle of Uhud, the battle of Badr, one whole night Rasulullah crying in dua. One whole night in sijda. Leave alone lifting the hand in sijda one whole night. This is the type of heart that we are trying to get. Of course, we are realizing our shortcomings, but these are models Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent for us. So eating less develops this quality of softness in our heart. The third advantage of eating less is it creates humbleness in our soul. And when humbleness is created, we realize the grandeur of Allah. And when we realize the grandeur of Allah, the magnanimity of Allah, the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we realize we are nothing. And we realize, when we realize we are nothing, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us become His mahbub, His beloved. Because hum kuch nahi hai, hum bekar hai. This is when we come fana. We fana ourselves, we finish ourselves, the stage of fanahiyat, which inshallah we'll talk later on, how in the path of tasawwuf you consider yourself the lowest of the lowest, the lowest of pig. We are lower than pig also. We are lower than dogs also. We are nothing, as I did mention before. This is how the wali of Allah consider themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise their maqam. Another one he says is, when the soul gets harmed, you make a guna, automatically your mind switch on to the azab of Allah. We'll see, a woman is passing on the street, we're going in namaz, tasbih in our hands, we're reading Quran also, but we're checking and we're going. It's happening. Why? Because the heart is not clean inside. Right? We're coming out of the masjid, we start making ribat. We start stepping out of the masjid. Oh, the imam namaz was too long today. The taraweeh had this problem. I mean, this a thing to think, which what is the halat of our heart, where are we going? So this is where when you eat less, it has its effect. Another one is, we are not inclined towards sinning. And the two last one is, it remains light-headed. We remain light-headed. That is, we are not lethargic to wake up for tahajjud. We are not lazy to do ibadat. We are not lazy to wake up. Our sleep does not overpower us. And finally, he says, very, very important, when a person eats less, we develop mercy for everybody. We develop the quality of raham in our heart. Very, very important. These are the seven advantages, spiritual advantages, when a person controls his food. Food in itself is a blessing. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib has mentioned the blessing of eating, of food. Just quickly, first of all, when we eat, when a person is very, very hungry, very, very hungry, when we eat food, Allah appeases this hunger. That in itself, what a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we don't eat on time, what happens? Hydrochloric acid forms. And then the hydrochloric acid starts eating our stomach. And then we get ulcer and this and that and that and that. Whatever disease we get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeases this. What a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, food. The second one is Allah has put taste. Animals, let us take a cow. It just eat grass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much bad taste buds in our tongue that so many type of dishes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We can taste. Another thing very, very important, Allah has honored us when we eat. Look the way our mothers or our wives serve the food to us. And look the way an animal eats. Is it not an honor that our food is hot, smelling nice, the fragrance of the food, the deliciousness of the food, with the smile the wife and the mother is offering the food? What a great honor to eat. Once, Mulana Dr. Saab, Abdul Hay Saab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was invited by one of his murid. He was bed to Mulana and his wife also. So when he went there, Mulana ate the food, and then Mulana praised the food. The wife started crying and crying. Mulana thought he did something wrong. He didn't appreciate the food. Mulana asked, of course, she was behind the parda, of course, with all the imam. He said, why are you crying? He said, for 40 years I'm married, not one single day my husband praised my food. You needed to come to my house to know that I cook well. From there, ulama explained, we must praise our wife's food. We must praise our wife's food. This is a way of showing gratitude, because we cannot pay them. You know, according to Masla brothers, let me tell you the Masla, but don't give this cassette to the ladies. According to Masla, your wife is not obliged to cook for you. Kan ka sunno. Your wife is not obliged to cook for you. There's no ayat in the Quran that says that. There is no hadith of Rasulullah that says that. Diyanatan. Diyanatan means between her and Allah. She got a moral duty. She hasn't got a legal duty. We have a legal duty to maintain her, to give her clothing. وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ It's a direct injection from the heavens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we must feed our wife, we must dress them, we must give them shelter. If we don't do that, they can take it to court by qazi. But if she doesn't cook for us, we cannot go to court, because there's no law on that in Sharia. Diana, what a favor the wife is cooking for us. How many times we appreciate the food our wife put in front of us? When the food is nice, but you don't sit, I'm eating, it's nice. By implication. No, heart of woman is different. Heart of man is different. The way men understand things is different compared to the way women understand things. The psychology of woman is different. So this is why Very important that we understand that the food, Mufti Taqi Sahib says, is an honor. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced us with food. Another one, he says, very, very important. We eat with peace and security. Look, an animal in the jungle. A lion or a tiger behind the buck. Or the gazelle. The gazelle is eating. Check. They're eating. Check. We don't have this worry. With peace and tranquility, we eat security. And there's another wrong masala. People think you can't eat, you must not talk when you eat. No, this is not the masala. You must not talk things that worries you. In fact, Hakim Akhtar Sahib, those who sat with him, will see he make a lot of jokes when you eat because it digests your food. Is he Hakim? I've seen it. I've checked the masala also. You're allowed to talk, but don't over-talk. A small joke with your child. Beta, today what you did at school or something like that. Soothing, as well as your wife, how she spent the day. Not as well, too open, but then the whole day kahani will come out. Limit is limit, right? Number six, company of the family. That's very important. And lastly, it's the fuel for worship. Look about food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that. But the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu. Eat, drink, but don't exceed the limit. I'm going to end it, time is over. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, it comes in hadith reported by Aisha Siddiqa radiya ta'ala, and for 3 moons, that is 3 months, they live on dates and water. They live on dates and water. So don't get carried away that you got to eat 3 meals a day. That's a wrong concept. Scientifically, it's not sound, this concept. It is, you got to look at the whole scheme of capitalism to create a consumative society. And for that, they're going to give somebody a PhD and tell him, you must have porridge with this amount of porridge in the morning, and your RDA must be that. Who got time to go and check what happened in Harvard University? This research of that professor, that you got time for that? Nobody got time for that. And I quoted you hadith of Islam, where a Muslim stomach, intestine, we have one. A kafir got 7. If it is true for them, it is not true for us. So this controlling of food is very important. Time is over. There are many, many things I got to say on food. But because we got about maybe 30 more majlis, I don't know what Allah has put in my taqdeer to go, whatever. There are 4 things I want you to read on your own. One is the adab of eating. The adab of drinking. There are volumes written on that. When you eat by somebody's place, the adab, and when somebody comes and eat by your place. 4 topics, which are very, very important to complement that. This you can get books on fiqh, you go and read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. And as I told you, there are so much to talk on food, so much to talk on food. Bottom line is, we got to make mujahada regarding what we are eating, so that spiritually those 7 advantages of our spiritual advantages, we can benefit from that, and there is more ruh in our ibadat. And remember, the adab of eating is very, very important. The adab of eating. Eating is an ibadat in Sharia. It is an ibadat. This 20 contacts per day with food is not in the spirit of Sharia. Right? If you go and see the average Muslim family, when they watch TV only, how many packets of popcorn goes, how many packets of peanuts goes, how many can of Coke and Pepsi goes. Just think about that. And then when they fall sick, how much money is being wasted? This is completely against Sharia. Completely against Sharia. I don't say it's haram. It's against the spirit of eating in Sharia. This is what I'm saying. You want to eat, you eat, no problem. But understand the spirit of Sharia. There is 2 dimensions. One, the physical dimension. One, the spiritual dimension. The spiritual dimension is more important than the physical dimension, because this body is going to be eaten by the worms in the qabr. But the ruh is immortal. The ruh will everlast. The ruh will go in Jannah. So this is what we must cater. We're going to stop here today. Inshallah, next week, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, we're going to talk on... If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq, we're going to talk on sleepless. To sleepless, inshallah. Make our zikr in our heart. Allah, 100 times in our heart. Don't make it loud. يا ولا الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حنان يا منان يا حنان يا منان. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل ما علم لك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن، ونعوذ بك من العدل والكسل، ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل، ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة بغير حساب، اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة بغير حساب. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وحلالا وطيبا وعملا صالحا ومتقبلا وشفاء من كل داء وقلبا منورا ولسانا ذاكرا وإيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا وخلقا حميدا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وإليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين.